to 43.
First, I'm going to do the live transcript and then I'll start the webinar.
Okay, great.
Okay, here we go.
Zoe. Are you on Zoom with me tonight, Zoe? Good evening, everyone. I'm going to give everyone a few minutes to get signed into the webinar. Looks like we have everybody coming in and joining us now. Welcome. All right, so we're going to start off with a presentation and discussion on Forte and the project plans for this park and have a conversation with our attendees here this evening. I am Nicole Banks. I'm the Commissioner of Parks, Recreation, and Culture, and it's really great to have you all join us here this evening. If you were hoping to discuss the Braceland project, that will be immediately following the Forte presentation, and we'll start at around 6 o'clock. So some of you may want to join both, or you may be looking for one site or the other. And my dogs are going crazy in the background. So to get us started, just a bit of an introduction. Our Parks and Recreation Commission established a fields committee to discuss the conditions of our athletic playing fields and to explore some paths to improve them. The Fields Committee has been meeting for over a year now, and their work has been invaluable. We have learned about the challenges of our sport groups, what they are facing in terms of field needs, and what we can do to overcome some of these challenges. The sport groups have participated in many of our meetings and have shared their ideas and interests in improving the fields, and of course, in increasing playtime availability on the fields. It is important to recognize that many of our fields are situated in neighborhood parks, and we are here tonight to cast a wider net for community input, to hear ideas and comments from other stakeholders, including neighbors and park guests who like to visit and utilize the resources in these parks. In addition to improving the fields, we have a responsibility to improve accessibility for all, and we have an opportunity to look at the bigger picture, park features, which would include things like trail connectivity, seating, tree canopy, parking, and more. So we will be expecting some comments on any and all of those things, and I'm sure much, much more. We will start with a presentation about our overall fields initiative, and then we will dive in on Forte Park specifically. After the presentation, we will open up the floor for comments. You will be able to comment either verbally by raising your virtual hand and we can bring you in to speak, or you can comment through the chat function at any time throughout the webinar. If you leave the meeting and you think of a really great idea or have a question that you didn't think of asking this evening, you can email those comments and questions to athleticfields@newtonma.gov. And we will also be posting this video recording on our website, which is www.newtonma.gov/fieldsprojects. Sorry, field projects. I think we'll put that in the chat if you would like to just jot down either the email address or the website, and you'll find details about our field improvement work on this website page. And as I mentioned before, for those, I think we've got a few more who have joined since I started after the Forte Park discussion, we'll take a few minutes for a break. We're gonna try to start as close to 6 p.m. as we can for the Braceland discussion. So that will be immediately following this. And at this time, I would like to introduce and turn it over to Luis Perez Di Maurizi, who is our Director of Parks and Open Space, and will be starting us off with the presentation portion. Thanks, Luis.
Thank you, Commissioner. Welcome, everyone. Thank you for taking the time to be here with us today. And it I will be sharing a presentation once I am given rights to do so. Robin, would you mind providing me with access to share my screen, please? Oh, there we go. Thank you. Okay, so again, thank you all for being here. As the commissioner mentioned, we'll be discussing Forte Park Fields for this portion of the meeting. And then at 6 o'clock, we will talk about Braceland in Upper Falls. So on the agenda today, we'll have a summary of our citywide athletic field master plan, as well as a summary of Forte Park preliminary improvement goals. But to start, I'd like to sort of give a broader view of our department. So Parks Recreation and Culture manages and oversees nearly 600 acres of park land and open space. In addition to school lands and other public grounds, these lands accommodate a lot of varying recreational uses, ranging from aquatic facilities, tracks, fields, passive areas, courts, splash pads, parks with historic significance, wetlands and waterways are also home, apologies, our parks are also home to wetlands and waterways. And these are spread across all villages, wards, and school zones. So they really, our land really does serve the community as a whole. So how was the plan developed? We, our five-year strategic plan drew a lot from the open space and recreation plan, which we spent a year and a half between 2019 and 2020. Reaching out to constituents, putting out surveys, et cetera. We also looked at what projects were in the capital improvements plan list, as well as field community meetings that we've run so far. And as the commissioner mentioned, input during the field subcommittee sessions that we've been conducting. And then of course, understanding our land, meaning parks land, we continue to have internal use and conditions assessments via the grounds and maintenance division. So part of the surveys that we put out as part of the open space and recreation plan really highlight the demand of playing fields. And they also highlight how important playing fields are. Athletic and playing fields are within the top three resources that were very important to people. So our overarching approach to improving fields is looking at improving quality, quantity, and maintenance of fields, facilities. And we're looking at continuing to increase investment in our fields, expand project management. One of our big goals is to expand evening play, natural and synthetic turf field replacement and enhancements, as well as potential expansion of those amenities. And of course, the bigger one is to complete multi-year capital improvements projects. And a part of, as the commissioner stated earlier, we do have some overarching goals, and really it's to improve quality and quantity of multi-use and multi-purpose fields, improve accessibility, establish park construction management so that we can better, so we can have a good product at the end once it's once the project is finalized. Invest equitably in new athletic fields and parks across the city, and implement smart and sustainable technology and materials for better resource management, such as smart irrigation, smart lighting, and consistent site amenities specifications, such as backstops, netting, infields, synthetic turf, benches, and a few other amenities. Our five-year strategic plan or master plan really looks at various elements in the way that we prioritized in the spirit of time and not boring you all. I would encourage you to visit our website and take a look at this a little bit, you know, with a thicker lens, if you will. But really, we're looking, we prioritize these projects based on the open space and recreation plan, the capital improvements plan list, potential for greatest citywide benefit, play expansion potential, lighting improvements, previous master plans, input from athletic league stakeholders, and also integrated with other projects such as the Pathway at McGrath, Gap Pool, fee analysis and increase, stakeholder fundraisers, school construction, etc. In this screen is what our five-year strategic plan looks like. So we're looking at an array of projects that help us reach those goals. Many of them are renovations and some are additions, others are replacements, as you can see here, both, all three synthetic turf field surfaces at both high schools are in need of replacement in the near term. So we're looking overall 10 locations within the next 10 years, the next 5 years: Albemarle, Forte, Burr School, Brown Oak Hill, McGrath, Bobby Bracelin, Newton South, and Newton North. Considerations that we take into account over the next 5 years for capital improvement projects, we continue to adjust and assess our capital improvements plan list. Depending on the developers and where they are, we very often receive mitigation and impact fees that contribute to improvements. One which impacts the park that we're going to talk about shortly. Again, school construction projects and some of the variables in prioritizing projects, the school time change, where private open space becomes available, such as golf courses and other parcels of land. Additional non-athletic field projects in the works, I'd like to highlight those as well. So we're in the process of finalizing design of Louise Levingston Cove improvements at Crystal Lake. Marty Sender phase two improvements are in the works with phase one being implemented in the spring. Gath Pool reconstruction project, accessibility improvements at Crystal Lake, Spears Park Community Gardens, and Newton Center at Cabot Park pavilions. And with that, I'd like to discuss the topic at hand, Forte Park. Forte Park is 6 acres. It sits along the banks of the Charles River, where the Charles River Path, which is DCR land, dissects, or the bank between the park and the river. This park has a lighted softball diamond, a good amount of parking. It has lighted basketball and bocce courts. It's irrigated and has a multi-purpose, regulation size multi-purpose fields for soccer, lacrosse, and others. It's got a playground, field house, and restrooms. Generally speaking, here on the screen, you'll see average use from the spring through the fall of this past year. As you can see, there's use for the softball field, and there is substantial use of the lighted soccer multi-purpose field, with soccer, lacrosse, and frisbee being some of the top perimeters there. So on the screen here, you'll see some of our initial improvement ideas and goals. So coming up in the near term, we have received some developer mitigation funds from the adjacent property, which is 15 Riverdale. And we are looking to replace the light fixtures on the existing poles with high efficiency, low spillage fixtures and upgrade for remote access, going back to, you know, better resource management. So we can access the lights remotely and really just reduce the amount of spillage that the current lights have. We would be looking at assessing synthetic turf there as an option. Certainly would be looking at improving accessibility, site furniture offerings, as well as any perimeter fence or netting. There's a potential for scoreboards, and certainly we would be looking to increase tree canopy where possible. So I would like, before I open this up for a discussion and questions and comments, I would like to sort of go over where we've been in this plan and where we are going. So we have, over the past year, attained CPA funds for design and engineering work. We prepared a request for qualifications and advertised a bid for designer. We've arranged the designer selection committee and have selected two out of the six firms that submitted proposals. And the next steps are to gain this input and develop field design and layouts based on the input that we're getting here. Field stakeholder input as well as departmental needs. We would develop a project construction timeline and work eventually to secure construction funding. And with that, I will send it back to the commissioner perhaps for a few words, or we can open it up for questions and discussion.
Thanks, Luis. Thanks for that presentation, the background, and getting us all a little bit acclimated with Forte and some of the features of the park. Before I open it up for comments and questions, I do just want to introduce Greg Mellett, who is on our panelist screen as well. Hello, Greg. Thanks for being here. Greg has joined our team. He is our Assistant Director of Parks and Open Space, and he's going to play a key role in the management of the various projects that we have, and we definitely need all the help we can get. So glad to have you here, Greg, and you know, we'll all be here to answer questions the best we can this evening. So to participate with us here and really to open up the floor to hear from everybody and what are your interests, what are you thinking about for Forte, we have a couple of options for you. At the bottom of your screen, you'll see a chat function. You can write into the chat at any time. You'll also see the Q&A function that is also active, and you can write questions or comments in either of those areas. We will do our best to read those all in so everybody can hear them. And then if you prefer to speak with us, then you would just hit the raise hand button at the bottom of the screen, and we will bring you in. We can hear your comments and questions, and we will be able to try to answer them or get back to you from there. So please, we will open up the floor. I do want to recognize this evening in our attendees list, we do have many of our Parks and Recreation Commission members, and so I truly appreciate them being here to support the projects and hear a little bit more of the detail. And provide some input if they would like to. And I also want to recognize Councillor Kelly, who is in the audience with us. Thank you for joining us and showing an interest in the field projects as well. We really appreciate that. So with that, I'm going to start taking a look if there's any hands up. And Robin, feel free to start
putting people in. Councillor Kelly has been promoted to a panelist to speak.
I Hi, Counselor. Welcome. Looks like you've come in here on mute. So if you're able to unmute yourself.
I didn't actually have a comment. I've just been observing, and but in case I wanted to say something, I am sadly going to have to head off for another meeting or two at 5:30. But just in case, I had a thought or a comment, I appreciate you promoting me to a panelist and recognize me as being here, at which I'm happy to be here and staying on top of all of this. Thanks. I don't have anything to say right now, though. Thank you. Great, hey, Louise. Hi, Nicole.
I know there's several meetings tonight, so some of us are juggling a few of those, and I think even some of the participants who will be here this evening will have some other meetings they want to get to as well. So many ways to reach us, and thanks, Counselor, for being here to listen in for a little bit.
And while we wait, for additional comments, maybe silence is a good thing and everyone's pleased in the direction that we're going in. But I did want to note that, looking at, our 5-year strategic plan, apologies, I'm going to
make us dizzy.
Get back to, given the amount of projects that we have going on, we have identified 4 sites that are at the top priority to begin some design work, and that is Albemarle, Burr School, McGrath, and Brown Oak Hill. Those we will be looking at simultaneously, using the CPEC funds, CPA funds that we receive for design and engineering and, improvements, design work for improvements at Forte, as well as Bobby Braceland later tonight, are sort of a few years away, but part of this process is to gain input, cement that, post it on our website, so that when the time comes, we can hand this over to our consultants and they can just start sort of addressing some of the comments. So with that, hopefully we get some comments, questions.
Luis, I want to add just a little bit more to that, because that's a really good point. And I think when you look at the 5-year strategic plan, a question that does come up is, well, which is going to go first? What will the timeline be on all of that? And that is part of the work that we're going to be doing now that we have onboarded our design and engineer firms. It is important that we put as many of these sites through the design and engineer work, as quickly as we can, so that we can get out to everyone what are the options, what are the costs associated with projects, and start trying to make some prioritization lists. One of the things that we're thinking about, when we're redeveloping athletic fields in particular, is that we want to stage this over time. So we don't want to shut down multiple fields at once. We might have 1 or 2 that would be under construction and then try to get those up and running. So a few of the sites might provide, additional multi-purpose space and could be prioritized based on that. We also have a very large park project planned at Albemarle, and that project in particular is being prioritized because it sort of ties in with the master plan for the park and looking at the Gath Pool renovation project and replacement of the outdoor pool. And Albemarle also has a light system that desperately needs to be replaced and is at end of life. So those are just a couple of thoughts around, how we'll try to work to prioritize the projects and work through both the design process and then making recommendations on what to construct first.
Okay, Commissioner, there is a question. Will the fencing reduce access to the Charles River pathway from the park?
I can answer that question. And this is coming from Ellen Katz. So Ellen, thank you for the question. Our intent is to not block any access to the Charles River. The netting or fencing is more targeted toward being respectful or being better neighbors to abutters, not so much toward the Charles. We really do want to encourage sort of that open flow between the park and the Charles River pathway and the river beyond.
So I think, I don't know if folks are here for the second part of the presentation as well to talk about Braceland, but you know, one of the things to consider here this evening is we have engaged our stakeholders, our sports team. So we've been working with the Newton Youth Leagues and the softball and lacrosse and soccer programs that would be on site here. And we've also been working with the school department. So our athletic directors, you know, have had a seat at the table through our fields committee meetings and have been being kept up to date with the presentations we've made so far. And we'll have lots of opportunity to provide input along the way. So, you know, I think tonight was really an opportunity for us to get to show this to the wider community. Here, if there's other things like the walking paths and access to the Charles River, other amenities that are in this park that are important to our neighbors and park guests. And so that's okay if we're if we're pretty quiet here tonight. You know, we're also, it's important to us to be able to put this together so that we can have this on our website. People can come and see this presentation at their leisure. And certainly feel free to email into us at any time some of the comments, because those will all be shared with our partners that will help us design the spaces. And we'll want to make sure we capture as many of the ideas as we can early on in the process.
Commissioner, not seeing any Q&A or chat questions or raise hands. Okay. Perhaps most, like you mentioned, most folks are more interested in Braceland, perhaps, or maybe. Most of the folks. Maybe.
All right. Well, anyone who is here, we're going to give it a few more minutes. If you'd like to add a chat comment or raise your hand, and we can bring you in here to speak with us. I certainly see, as I mentioned before, we have some Parks and Recreation Commission members on the call, and you know, I see some familiar names here that have been following and attending many of these presentations. So it certainly is a bit of review as far as the strategic plan and the overall effort. But you know, love to hear from anybody on Forte. Any ideas there? So, and if not, I think what we will do, we'll give it a few more minutes here to see if anybody would like to participate, but I think we'll take a break and we will be able to come back here closer to 6 o'clock. So, you know, you can feel free to sign off and sign back in. The same webinar link that you used to get in here, we'll keep this open and ready. But we do want to wait until closer to 6 because we did, you know, put that out in our advertising, and I'd hate for anybody to miss the presentation and the conversation if it's something they wanted to see. Okay, well, we're right about 5:30 now. Robin, do you see anybody else? Chat comments or anything?
No comments, no questions, okay. No hands raised.
Excellent. Just a reminder, if you're going to leave and not rejoin us for the Braceland conversation, we do have the email posted in the chat. You'll be able to grab that. You know, check out our website if you're looking for more information, and hopefully we'll see most of you back here at 6. Robin, I think we are going to just, we can go on mute and close our screen, take a bit of a break, and we'll reconvene here a few minutes before six.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, everyone. Welcome back, everyone. Robin, I just want to check and make sure you're back here with us before we begin.
I'm here.
Okay, excellent. So we've got a few entering the meeting right now. I'm going to give a minute for everybody to join. That was a great intermission. I got my dinner cooked and a load of laundry out. So I feel like it was very productive. Hope everybody else had a good break. Okay, great. So we have some new attendees joining us, and a few who are sticking with us. We're about to start the second part of our conversation this evening, which is going to be about Braceland. And I want to say good evening to everyone. My name is Nicole Banks. I'm the Commissioner of Parks, Recreation, and Culture. And it's very nice to be here with you this evening. Thanks for spending some time with us tonight, talking about fields and parks and our enjoyment of our parks and all the parks amenities. The Parks and Recreation Commission established a fields committee to discuss the condition of our athletic playing fields and to explore paths to improve them. The Fields Committee has been meeting for over a year, and their work has been invaluable. We have learned of the challenges our sport groups are facing, and in terms of field needs, what we can do to overcome these challenges. The sports groups have participated in many of our meetings and have shared their ideas and interests in improving fields and increasing playing field availability. It is important to recognize that many of our athletic fields are situated in our neighborhood parks, and we are here tonight to cast a wider net for community input, to hear ideas and comments from other stakeholders, including our neighbors and park guests. In addition to improving the fields, we have a responsibility to improve accessibility for all, and we have the opportunity to look at the bigger picture of park features, such as trail connectivity, playgrounds, seating, tree canopies, parking, and other amenities included in our parks. We're gonna start this evening. If you're just joining us, it's not really starting, I guess, because we just had a presentation on Forte, but we're gonna move into our Braceland presentation. I'd like to introduce Luis Perez Di Marizzi, who will be giving our presentation tonight. And just before we begin, I do want to mention a couple of important networking tools for you. So we do have an email address. If you think of any ideas after the meeting or a question that you forgot to ask, you can email us at athleticfields@newtonma.gov. And our whole project team will get that information, and we will make sure that that gets incorporated into our public comment. And we will also be posting tonight's meeting on our website. So if you know of anyone who was not able to attend this evening, or if you'd like to go back and check out any of our other presentations, those are all on our website, which is www.newtonma.gov/fieldprojects. And I believe Luis is gonna put those into the chat function for us. Thanks, Luis. So you can refer to those anytime during the evening if you want to jot those down and connect with us that way. So with that, Luis, I'm going to turn it over to you for our presentation, and then we're going to open it up for chat comments, or if you would like to speak, we can bring you in for questions and comments to speak with us directly. So thanks, everyone. Thank you, Luis.
Thank you, Commissioner. Welcome, everyone, and welcome back to those who were a part of the previous meeting discussion. I apologize if I'm repeating some stuff for those who have been around since 5 o'clock. I will try to not bore you. the city's going through a very substantial improvements plan for athletic fields and parks. Bobby Braceland is one out of many that we have going on. So, we're just going to kick it off with providing a summary of citywide athletic fields master plan, and then a summary apologies, typo there. I meant Braceland, not Forte. That was a copy paste error on the screen. And a summary of Bobby Braceland playground preliminary improvement goals. And I just would like to highlight for the folks at Upper Falls, we acknowledge the work and effort that went into this park redesign a number of years ago. And we are looking to acknowledge that master plan. And the reason that we're here today is because some of the neighborhood, some of the uses have changed over that time period. So we're looking to sort of build upon that master plan. A quick overview of Parks, Recreation, and Culture Department. We manage and oversee nearly 600 acres of parkland and open space, in addition to school lands and other public grounds, various recreational amenities, as you see highlighted here, a few of them, and they're spread across all villages, wards, and school zones. So they really do support or cast a wide net over the entire city and neighborhood. So for those who weren't here at the last meeting, I'll just briefly go through how we've developed the plan. So we extrapolated, projects from the open space and recreation plan that we've finalized and we worked on between 2019 and 2020, continuing to assess and reassess our capital improvements plan list. And that informed this master plan, as well as field community meetings that we've conducted, the field subcommittee that the commissioner had mentioned earlier, where we gained a ton of input from athletic stakeholders, and our continued internal facility use and conditions assessment. As part of the open space and recreation plan, there was a whole host of survey questions that went out to Newton residents. Roughly 1,300 residents responded. And as you can see here and in the next figure, playing fields are a top priority for many people and in terms of importance. The overarching approach to improve fields is really, how do we get there? So we've established a goal of improving quality, quantity, and maintenance of athletic fields facilities, and developed a set of objectives, which include increasing ongoing investment in athletic fields, expanding project management team, expanding evening play, enhancing, replacing, and potentially expanding natural and synthetic turf field areas, as well as completing the multi-year capital improvements projects that we have in the pipeline. So some of our goals the commissioner mentioned earlier in the meeting, but we are, again, looking to improve quality and quantity of usable multi-use, multi-purpose fields, which will, and the goal within that is to increase evening play opportunities and a few others, improve accessibility in park and field amenities, better park construction management, so that once the park or field is handed to us by the contractor, we are set in a good place. We are looking to invest equitably in Newton's athletic fields and parks and incorporate smart and sustainable technology for better resource management. Things like smart irrigation, smart lighting, and consistent site amenities. So very similar benches, backstops, netting, et cetera, so that we're able to manage post-construction. An overview of our five-year strategic plan. Here is our prioritization criteria. Apologies, a little tongue-tied there. I will, in the spirit of time and opening it up for discussion later, I encourage folks to go into our website and take some time to digest this, as well as the rest of the presentation, and please do follow up with us if you have any questions, thoughts, comments, ideas. So an overview of the projects, we have 10 total locations. Albemarle, Forte, Burr School, Brown Oak Hill, McGrath, Bobby Braceland, Newton South High School, and Newton North High School, both expanding lighting there, as well as replacing synthetic turf at the stadiums and other fields. Some considerations for the next 5 years is, you know, again, continuing to assess and develop our capital improvements plan list, developer mitigation and impact fees, contributing to improvements such as Forte Park, Wellington Park, and West Newton, other city construction projects such as school constructions that may result in new or enhanced parkland, as well as variables that may alter our priorities, such as school time change, or if private open space becomes available, such as golf courses or other private properties. Additional non-athletic field projects in the works, just so that everyone's sort of in the loop of where we are, where we're going, and everything that we have going on. So we have the improvements at Levingston Cove, along the banks of Crystal Lake, Marty Sender Greenway improvements, phase one being implemented in the spring, phase two in the process of asking for a grant to implement within the next couple of years, Gath pool renovation and reconstruction, accessibility improvements and master plan at Crystal Lake, Spears Park Community Gardens, and pavilions for shared arts and performances at both Newton Center Playground and Cabot Park Playground. Apologies, Cabot Park. So to get to the topic at hand, we'll discuss Bobby Braceland, or otherwise known as Upper Falls Playground. And as many of you on this meeting know, this is a very beloved park, nearly 9 acres of parkland that abut the Charles River. It's got one Little League diamond, decent parking, two tennis courts, which we've renovated a number of years ago, off-leash dog area, and 1 to 2 intermediate rectangular fields as the site allows. In terms of key athletic uses, we are looking at some use or use of the baseball field and a pretty even use for soccer on both fields that are available. And again, going back to the, you know, acknowledging the master plan that occurred a number of years ago, 2008, we're going to acknowledge that, but again, acknowledge new and current uses, as well as understanding that a neighborhood changes over the span of 15 years since this master plan has been conceived. So we're looking to sort of build upon it. And part of this discussion is to gain input, continue to develop this and really bring it up to the current needs, again, acknowledging all the efforts that occurred in 2007 to 2008. So, some improvement ideas and goals, which are highlighted in the master plan, are new accessible perimeter paths and seating, installing high efficiency irrigation with remote access and weather clock. I improve field perimeter fence and netting where necessary. Scoreboards, obviously caliper inch replacements for any trees that may be removed as a result of this plan. If not, we would certainly look to increase tree canopy where possible. And again, revisit and update the 2008 plan to account for current and newly identified community needs. And before we open it up to a discussion, I'd like to sort of go over where we've been and where we're going. So part of this initiative to improve fields and parks across the city requires amount of planning and design. So we have attained Community Preservation Act funding for design and engineering of many of these fields and parks. We have prepared a request for qualifications and advertised bid. We have selected two designers out of the six that we've received, six proposals that we received. And the next steps are to develop, based on the input, former master plans, et cetera, develop athletic field design and layout based on the input, stakeholder and departmental needs for now and beyond, and then continue to develop project construction priority and timeline, and it all with the goal of securing construction funding. I would like to point out that we have prioritized four other athletic field sites. Therefore, Braceland will not necessarily come to fruition in the near future, but it is going to be something that we'll make the CPA funds go as far as they can, and for the four sites, and then assess where we are at that point and figure out a way to move this and other projects forward. With that said, I would like to hand it off to the commissioner to open it up for discussions, questions, comments.
Thank you, Luis. That's great. And I'm pleased we have lots of time here to talk and have a conversation with everyone who's here in the audience. So just want to take a minute before we open up the virtual floor. I had an opportunity to introduce myself and Luis. I also want to say hello to Greg Mellett, who has joined our team as the Assistant Director of Parks and Open Space. He's going to be an integral part of us being able to complete these project lists and get all of this work started and timelined out in a good way. So thanks, Greg, for being here. And we will all do our best this evening to answer questions and take your comments. There are a couple of ways you can participate here this evening. If you look at the bottom of your screen, we have the chat function and the Q&A function tabs. You can put a comment or a question into either of those, and we'll read those in for everybody to hear. If you prefer to come in and speak with us, then you would just raise your virtual hand and we will open up the floor for that as well. And I do want to welcome, I believe I saw Councillor Humphrey in the audience. Councillor, let us know if you'd like to raise your hand, we can bring you up here as a panelist as well, if you'd like to join us, or you're welcome to listen in and hear what everyone has to say, but we're happy to have you here this evening to support this project and our initiative here. So with that, Robin, I'll turn it over to you, and hopefully you can help guide us through taking comments.
Okay, we have a question from Betsy Hewitt. The baseball field is not a little league field. The Newton South High School uses it for home JV games and other baseball leagues in the city. Can you clarify?
Sure.
Thanks, Betsy. Oh, sorry, Luis.
No, that's okay. thank you, Betsy, for that.
We did mention that we've had our fields committee meeting, and we do another component of that group has been having our athletic directors involved and at the table for these discussions. So we'll be working closely with the school department, and we will be talking to the athletic directors to make sure that we understand their needs and if there's any changes to those uses or if there would be a continued need for a field for high school sports, JV and varsity. Luis, feel free to add on.
you pretty much covered it. In terms of the terminology between baseball and Little League, and also just overall field dimensions, there isn't that much of a difference. So apologies, it really should have been, the term should have just been baseball, you pretty much covered it, Commissioner, with your response there.
Okay, we have a chat from Ellen Katz. Just an observation from a community resident. Dogs are rarely leashed as they leave cars in the parking area en route to the official dog park. So the entire park is a de facto dog park. Also, what about trail connectivity along the river? People want access to the river, one of Newton's best natural features.
Great. Luis, do you want me to start with off-leash area? So we manage seven off-leash areas, and this is one of our off-leash areas that is highly utilized, and I think an important component of what this park provides to our neighbors and park guests. It is currently not a fenced-in space, so I think it would be great to hear input from those who use the off-leash area and those who use the other park spaces. We certainly do hear about the issue of the parking area being so far removed from the off-leash area space, and yes, that some do let their dogs off before they've gotten to the specific area that's designated for dogs off-leash. We've been working on managing updates to our sign postings. I believe this area includes a sign that has a map that kind of delineates it, but I think that's something to be really thought through in the design here and how the community would like that space to ultimately end up being utilized, most likely by both uses, but having a good working order that park users and dog walkers and dog runners can both enjoy the area and spaces. So thanks for that comment. And we'll also bring that conversation forward to our off-leash area working group.
And Commissioner, I'd like to follow up on the second part of that question regarding the trail connectivity along the river. And the last sentence, the people want to access the river, one of Newton's best natural features. I think we all can agree that Charles River is a fantastic amenity for the city. It is even more fantastic that we have a few parks that directly abut the Charles River, and we can provide that amenity. This is something, trail connectivity and some of the other park amenities, once we get to the point where we're ready to really dig deep into the design to bring into fruition, we will certainly be looking at, how that might work. We have been focused on fields, but we do acknowledge that this is a larger park project. So we will certainly take that into account as we look at this project further down the line. We do have a couple of questions, and actually I believe Jay Werb had his hand raised.
Jay has a question. Do you have any specific plans to collaborate with the Upper Falls Area Council in all phases of this process?
Yes, that is always our plans to collaborate with stakeholders. We will not be working on this, at the dark of night, if you will. We will certainly be talking to the Upper Falls Area Council. We will be reaching out to residents and abutters, similar to what we've done here, ward councilor, city council as a whole, we will be, and you know, park and athletic field stakeholders. Yes, we will be updating and having a discussion with the Upper Falls Area Council.
And Luis, also, we very much appreciate the Upper Falls Council being able to share this information out to a larger audience as well. I think you guys do a fantastic job, you know, hosting meetings of your own and having communication pieces that go out. So, you know, sharing those resources, letting others know, you know, not everyone can make it to every meeting or spend an evening with us. And so, you know, we want everyone to know where they can find this information and how they can reach out to us on their own timeline as well. So appreciate the connection to everybody who's so invested in this area and want to be working together.
Okay, Jay Wirup has his hand raised. Jay, you just have to unmute to speak and we can hear you.
Okay, sure. So there is an existing easement between Bracewind and the Upper Falls Greenway. And I'm just wondering how we can use the time between now and the design, which will probably be some number of years, to sort of sort out the details of making that easement usable so that that's, so that that piece of the puzzle is in place when you actually do this design. Now, I talked to Jennifer Steele about this, and she actually said that Louise, probably you're the person to work with her and the community on this, but I'm just wondering how that would work and if this is a good time to start that process.
Sure, thank you, Jay, for the question. I see you've elaborated a little bit more on your question on the chat. So yes, I think we can start working on it on that aspect sooner rather than later, you know, and not necessarily wait until the park is ready for, you know, improvements. That being said, that's something that will take quite a bit of time to figure out the pieces, but this is something that we can work, you know, in the coming years to really, you know, address right. that easement. Yeah, we'd be happy to work with you and others on that.
Right, because Jennifer seemed to think that there would be a fair amount of elapsed time to really make that real. So that seems like something we could start now.
Yeah, right. And that's right. Sooner rather than later. So I would encourage you and others to reach out and sort okay. of have that, you know.
Okay, so I'll let Jennifer know that you agreed with her, that you and she can work together on this.
Absolutely. And I believe she's on the call somewhere as well.
Not surprised.
Yeah, so we'll, Jay, we'll work together in the coming years to figure that piece out.
Okay, thank you.
And I see there is a comment from Maureen. Hi, thank you for holding this meeting for the community to participate in. The Bracewind dog community has continued to encourage visitors to keep their dogs leashed until they reach the off-leash area. If the dog refuse can and poop bags, apologies, were relocated to the corner of the park near the southern corner of the upper field, it might encourage visitors to walk along the southern edge of the upper field. Maureen, thank you so much for that input. I do encourage you to bring this before the off-leash area working group as well. We would be able to take a look at that, you know, in greater detail through that forum.
Okay, Jack Neville, you're unmuted. Just unmuted, we'd be able to hear you speak.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yep. Hey, good evening. Louise, I was glad that you made a reference to the Newton Upper Falls playground master plan as of 2007, that the Recreation Department paid Weston and Sampson to do a beautiful makeup of what we could do with the playground. The thing is, in 2006, I've got another five-year park assessment planning. And in 2006, Upper Falls Playground was ranked 70th out of 71. And 71 was old Cold Springs Playground. So it's 2022 now, and I don't understand why that the list of 10 areas you're going to be working with, that we're number six. I don't understand why we're not still number one. I don't know why we're not in the first phase. I just don't understand how this playground, you know, how the people from Upper Falls can take it on the chin again. So it'll put us back another 5 years. You know, there's been a lot of work on that playground, and that the rehab of the tennis courts was, you know, well appreciated, but it was really a safety issue. The cracks were about 3 inches apart. So if you didn't have a broken ankle there, you'd never get one. But so they did that. And then it was a group in the village that paid to have the lines painted. The city put the work in, and then we, the Upper Falls area people, paid to have the lines painted. So we've been involved for a long time up here. And I don't know why we're still not in the first phase. Now, just to go a little bit further, I'm just trying to give a little history here. Back, I don't know how many, I'm going to say 10 to 15 years ago, American Tower, who owns the abutting land out in the field, out in center field, left field, right field, is about, they have about 6 to 8 acres. And I think they're only using about two of them. At one time, they wanted to put an addition, they wanted to add some panels on the tower in Newton. And they came to the village and they said, well, you know, we'd like to do this and willing to do this. And is there anything we can do to help you people? Well, you know, you could help us refurbish the playground. You could help us. So this is a true story, because you can verify with us Buzz Duncan, because Buzz Duncan was on that committee with me. Now, that's a long time ago. So we came up with a plan. We, the group from Upper Falls, which actually was the Newton Upper Falls Community Development Corporation, which was, it's still in existence. It's in the background right now because of the area council. So we worked together, the Newton Upper Falls Community Development Corporation and the area council worked together as one. So, but that was the group that we're working with. We were representing Upper Falls, so nobody else were representing Upper Falls at the time. And it was a group, it was a board of directors. There were 10 or 12 people. There's still 10 or 12 people on it. I forget exactly the number, but we sat down with American Tower, if you can believe it. And we negotiated with American Tower. They were going to give us, I don't know if they were going to deed the land to the city, but they were going to allow us to use 2 or 3, 4 acres along that park. And they were going to give us $250,000 up front and $50,000 a year for 10 years. That was the deal, just to put some stuff up on the tower. I don't know how many panels they wanted to do. So, you know, we're all excited, let's go. You know, it's a hell of a deal for the village, you know, and all this refurbished, the whole thing. So there was a group of people, I'm gonna say a group, I'm gonna say 3 or 4 or 5 people in the village. I don't know if there's that many, but they put a lawsuit in against American Tower because they didn't want any more panels. Now, all those people that did that are gone, of course. In the meantime, American Tower, look at, we you know, either you want to do, either you want to make this billion up. And in the meantime, you know, the politicians get involved and they were looking at it, and you know, they were trying to figure out how it could work. And then finally what they did is they went across the river. If you look at Braceland Playground, you look across the river, there's another tower right there, right in Needham, not more than 200, 300 yards from the existing tower in Newton. They put them all over there. So the whole deal was blown up. Now, the reason I give you that background is I think that's still a possibility. You know, I've heard in the past that, you know, they, you know, like Braceland Playground because there's no parking and all this stuff. Well, maybe, I know at that time, I'm pretty sure at that time, there was an executive from American Tower that lived in Newton. And I forget who the connection was, but well, we didn't deal with him directly. We dealt with his representatives, but you know, it's been a long time and I haven't thought much about it lately, but why, you know, I'm just trying to give Luis some information. I mean, there's a lot going on and we've had a lot of things go here. And I think that should be something that should be looked into. I don't know who should make the contact to American Tower, but I mean, they've been good neighbors. All they do is use that driveway. They drive in and drive out maybe once or twice a week. And I think there's one person that works there daily or checks the place daily. But other than that, they don't do anything with the land, nothing. And that land abuts the river. It's right along the river. Some, you know, it's on the river end to the land that abuts the river there. So, I mean, you know, as Jay talked about, you know, that, we talked about that pathway then also, you know, the pathway along the river. So there's so much going on in that one thing. But, you know, Luis, you mentioned, we're getting back to the playground master plan. You know, you mentioned that, you know, that it was done in 2007, whatever, kind of whatever it is, 15 years ago or more. And I would say right now that 90% of it, you could put, you know, start putting the pegs in the ground. You know, yeah, I know the dog park's been added, and but nothing's been done since then that I know of. That's the only thing. You know, opening up the river, we talked about a walkway along the river, you know, a pathway, the perimeter, the park. I mean, there were so many things that we talked about. And, you know, and now we're back to ground zero, and we're number six in a group of 10. So the first 5 years, you're talking about a five-year plan. So we're going to probably be in the second phase, which would be another 5 years. I'll never see it. I hate to say it. I'll never see it. I hope I would. I hope I do. But
Jack, I hope that we can get this done so you can see it. I do appreciate the you know, the background. We have been you know, talking to Buzz for sure, who has been involved in this and the Highlands Master Plan, and the Parks and Rec Commission and the CPC and beyond, about the tower situation, and that sort of potential for access and expanding parking and everything. That's a conversation that we may be able to have in the near future. And start, you know, looking into that. In terms of Braceland and where we are, I do want to note, Jack, that I do understand that this happened a while ago and that it's been sort of pushed back a little bit, you know. We are looking to get to this sooner rather than later. Unfortunately, between then and now, we have quite a bit of end-of-life equipment, such as a few items at Albemarle and the synthetic turf fields at the high schools, as well as you know, sort of the need to expand multi-purpose and multi-sport play. So,
well, you know,
yeah,
I mean, I know, and I agree with that. Also, I mean, I agree with all those turf fields that we should be replaced. But, you know, if you enhanced Upper Falls, you could get another play field. You could probably put lights in there. I don't think that'd be a big problem putting lights in. You know, the way the lights are today, I don't think it would be, you know, too negative to the community. I don't know. I'm just speaking for myself. I can't speak for general, but I just don't think. And then you could set up that lower field for, you know, lower part of the playground. There's another whole entire field. You could make a soccer field out of a baseball field or just a general field. I mean, there's so much that park. That park hasn't been touched. I've been looking at a little history. That land was given to the city in 1910, I think it was. And there was some master plan. They hired some architect from Boston. And that's the last one I saw, except for the one in 2007, that an architect actually looked at the place. You know, I mean, so that's 100 years. And you know, Upper Falls was a very active place because it was a mill town. It was mills. That's what they did on Sundays. They all went to the playground. The only thing they place they could go. So I don't know how we always get bumped down. I know when they did the Highlands, you know, the powers to be came to me and said, you know, do you think we can do the Highlands first? We know Upper Falls is, you know, ahead of them. And I said, look, you know, I understand the big picture. So I said, you know, long as we're on the list. So this is what, 7, 8, 10 years later, and I'm still on the list in the middle of the pack, if I'm lucky. That's all I'm saying. I don't want to take any more time, but.
Hi, Jack. Can I talk with you for a minute? I want to say thank you for being here tonight and giving that background information. I think that's a really important piece to have be a part of this initial meeting that we're hosting. So thanks for doing that. You know, you're volunteering on a few groups. You're very involved. I have no doubt you'll be very helpful to us in making contacts in the community, making contacts with some of these close neighboring businesses. So thanks for, you know, being here. I hope we can get some of it done in the near future. You know, just to kind of give you an idea, and I can't really speak to the priorities of the past, but I'm happy to see this on the list. I think none of us in Parks, Recreation, and Culture Department doubt that there is a need for park improvements, playground improvement here, and of course we'll be looking at the fields piece. So I'm glad you shared that with us. I think we hear you on wanting this to be, you know, a broader park improvement. Jack, you serve on our Parks and Recreation Commission as well. So I know you know about the conversations we've been having about the athletic field needs, the school dismissal time change, and some of the impacts that has had on our access. So, you know, that is why we're prioritizing trying to get some, you know, quick work going on some of the athletic fields that could go under construction and be developed early on. But our intent is to try to use the funds we have from CPA to spread them as far as we can, and to get all of our design and engineer work going as soon as we can. So, you know, that will be our goal here. And certainly that's why we're here tonight, to talk about, you know, ideas and input and hear a little bit from the community. And I appreciate you and others being here. I think Buzz is on the call, and I think almost all of our Parks and Recreation Commission members are here tonight. Midge had to leave a little bit earlier, but so many of you are on. So I know there's a lot of support here, and there's this great support for this project. So
I'll just say one more thing, if I could. So you mentioned, you know, the reason I mentioned the fields is I think it's a great opportunity for the city to pick up maybe two fields. If you did the playground correctly, you have the upper and lower fields, I would assume, because of the topography of the land. And I think you should be looking at this park as almost like a Highlands rehab. I mean, a serious overhaul. Even the tot lot, I know it was done around 10 or 15 years ago, but, you know, so, I mean, that's my final report.
I think you have good agreement from us on this team, and so you know, we'll see what broad input comes in, but it's I tend to agree with you. I think this is a full park improvement project, and the athletic fields are an important component and will be important for us to look at and see if anything needs to change from, you know, this master plan. But you know, some nice improvements to this park will will go a long way. So I do hope we'll be able to get it to that point.
Yeah, and the Riverway was really the biggest thing. The Riverway walkway was really a buster. Everybody loved that. That was really a 100% agreement on that. So I mean, there's so many good things in this master plan right now that you know you just add to it and you know make a few adjustments and you have it.
Of course.
Thanks again.
Thanks, Jeff.
You're very welcome. We have a few comments on the chat, so I'd like to read those through. And then we do have someone with their hand raised. One comment, a bit of history. An older resident told me that the field house used to host craft classes for children taught by MPS teachers in the summer. Maybe the field house could be renovated. Everyone does like the tennis courts, which are used even by non-tennis folks. Thank you for that. We have another one. I use the dog park several days a week. It would be great if you could put a trash barrel next to the poop barrel on the Pennsylvania Street corner. There is often trash left right near the barrel, pizza boxes, etc. I don't think the trash is from the dog park people, but others that use the park. Another comment, I'm just glad the park is in the top 10 on this list. Thank you. Another couple more comments, and then we'll get to the raise hand. Here's another dog park question. It currently has at least some fencing along the river and its east and west sides. Could those fences be completed, repaired, and the fourth north side fenced in a way that allows people to access the paths along the river? Alternatively, if the current dog park area is needed for playing fields, could the dog park be moved to and fully fenced on the grass slope between the upper and lower fields? Either of these options seem like a relatively low cost project. Thank you for that comment. There's someone that said, bravo, Jack, I agree. So to address the dog park question, you know, this is more of an off-leash area working group discussion for the dog park. One thing about the dog park at the lower tier, which is why it isn't fenced at this point in time, and we can certainly take a look at the fences that might be in disrepair, is that hill between the upper tier and the lower tier is very popular for sledding. So once you get into fencing that area in, whether it's the lower tier or that slope, then you remove that recreational amenity. I would like to point out that we do have unfenced off-leash areas in the city, Cold Spring Park being the biggest one. I understand that park is different than this, but to really answer the question here briefly, we just need to acknowledge the sledding and how the dog park may or may not impact that before we really start looking at enclosing that area. So really respecting some of the existing recreation that happens there.
Okay, Betsy Hewitt, you can unmute to speak.
So I think that he covered it. I just wrote that Bobby Braceland has the only sledding hill in Upper Falls. I don't see it on this diagram, and also on this schematic, it doesn't really show where the dog park is, but the dog park is really only certain times of the year, supposedly. Not that it gets followed, but it's supposed to be when the sledding's happening that the dog park is not. That doesn't always correlate. And so we try to all work together, but we've also found that people, and it's, I think, natural that people do this, come from other communities to outside of Newton to walk their dogs there because it's really nice, as well as dog walkers. So some of the time it needs better supervision than what it has.
Thanks, Betsy. I will certainly make sure I make our off-leash area working group aware of some of the comments that have come in this evening about the dog park. I know those are the types of things they discuss. We do have an off-leash area specialist, Peter. Betsy, you probably know Peter well if you're helping in the neighborhood and working with him. It's challenging. There's 7 off-leash areas, and Peter spreads his time around the best he can, but it's really helpful to, just have this good working relationship with those in the neighborhoods. And, things like the location of pet waste barrels and trash receptacles are things that, certainly Peter brings some of those into us, and we're hearing a little bit about that tonight too. I think from what I'm seeing here, the off-leash area might have not been here when the last master plan was done. So, I really feel that's a big part of what needs to be thought through, kind of adding on to what's being seen here so far. So I appreciate those comments from everybody. I'm sure that's been getting a ton of use. I know a lot of families got dogs during the pandemic as well. So we all enjoy being outside with them. So thanks. Thanks for continuing those comments, and I'll pass them along.
And Commissioner, there are a few other comments here. Any fence within Conservation Commission jurisdiction, including much of this park, must allow passage of wildlife. The existing fence does not conform to the rule. Betsy is right in that plans for community review should show land contours. Thank you for those comments. And I apologize for not showing the contours. In previous meetings, I've shown them on the plans, and they seem to have been in a mapping layer that was frozen. So apologies for that. We do know where the sledding hill is and where that occurs. So apologies for that. Lack of information in the plans. The next comment, the community may not know that Peter Massapica from Parks, Recreation, and Culture is a regular visitor to check licenses during most of the year. And that is all the comments that I see both in the chat and in the Q&A.
Luis, can I give us a time reminder here? We have a little less than 10 minutes till we come to 7 o'clock. And I just want to be respectful of everybody's time, because I know there's a couple other meetings that myself and others have to join. So, love to, just have any information that comes in through email. We'll certainly be continuing this conversation. This was a really great, robust conversation this evening. So appreciate that. Some of the working groups and committees that have already reached out to us have offered to help. I'm sure will be important in the communication as we look at the space. So and I see some faces on the list tonight of attendees are here listening to all of this. We have about 5 more minutes. So if anybody would like to raise your hand, love to hear from you, and just make sure we have an opportunity. If anybody wants to speak, that you have that chance. Okay, I don't see any hands up. Luis and Robin, do you see anything else in the chat function before we say good night and for some good on to the next meeting?
Okay. So. No, there's no questions or comments in the chat.
Okay, thanks so much, everyone. Really appreciate you being here. Please let anyone that has questions know the video will be posted on our website, so they can certainly catch up on this. And really appreciate everyone attending, and all the support and information provided for Braceland tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Have a good one. Bye.